from KNX News 97.1 FM.
This is Countdown 2024.
Brought to you by LMU Loyola Law School.
Here are Charles Feldman and Margaret Carrero.
And I'm Charles and Mike Simpson. And today, this week actually, for Margaret. 1 week away, that's it. Then, yeah, America's going to decide.
It's almost over, everyone.
I know. Wow. And we're going to have to answer one of the big questions of this election season. Is the country ready for a female president? Well, it's a question that maybe goes beyond a simple yes or no, and it is a question that we will explore on today's show. We will also look into how religion is playing a role in the election and whether God is losing his or hers or what influence. But first.
Yeah, police say a ballot box arson fires in Portland, Oregon, also Washington State. Likely connected. They say some incendiary device damaged hundreds of ballots earlier this month. No word on a motive. The voters impacted will still be able to cast some replacements. This comes as the FBI and Homeland Security are warning local police of election-related violence and other disruptions.
Longtime Donald Trump ally Steve Bannon has been released from prison. He served a four-month sentence for defying a subpoena in the congressional investigation into the January 6th attack. Bannon left a federal prison this morning. He already resumed his podcast, saying he was focused on helping Trump win back the presidency.
And if you ever plan to move to Nebraska.
No way. I'm not moving to
some
Nebraska.
Some days I can say
no, there's
it.
No way.
You might get drafted to work an election, whether you want to or not. Only state that requires compulsory duty.
That's quite a reason to move there, isn't it? Wow. Okay.
You and your six neighbors will all have to work. It's to recruit precinct poll workers, election office helpers, ballot deliverers. Anyone who ignores a summons could be charged with a criminal misdemeanor and fined up to $100.
Yeah, you see that letter in the mail. Welcome to Nebraska.
Now get to work.
Yeah, Vice President Harris could be the first woman president in U.S. history. She's already the first female vice president. So the question is, will people vote for her just because she's a woman? And will people vote against her simply because she's a woman? With us now, we have Christina Reynolds from Emily's List, which is a national organization dedicated to helping elect female lawmakers. I'm sure that there are women who will vote for Kamala Harris because of the abortion issue and also because they figure it's about time that there's a woman in the White House as president. But I'm also sure, based on the polls and also just observational study, if you want to call it that, that there are an awful lot of guys who won't vote for her because she's a woman. Is that something that's a particular problem in this country? Because other countries don't seem to have that.
Well, thank you for having me today. I think one of the things that we see very clearly at Emily's List, which is an organization that has been around for nearly 40 years, working to elect Democratic pro-choice women up and down the ballot, we know that America will elect a woman because they have across the country. We've seen women elected in red states, in blue states, in purple states. We've seen more women governors elected. And, you know, she did not win, but Hillary Clinton did get the majority of votes or more votes than Donald Trump. So we know that America will vote for a woman. Are there people who are not voting for her because of her gender? That's entirely possible. I'm not sure they were open to Democrats to begin with, but that's entirely possible. I think the bigger challenge that we see for women candidates are the ways that we treat them differently. So mis and disinformation, for example, that is aimed at attacking her gender or aimed at sort of making her seem different than what we've always elected in the past. That's a challenge that we see very frequently. The flip side of that is it's less that we see women who just want to elect a woman and that we see women who view Kamala Harris as having some significant strengths, that her gender is a strength, particularly when it comes to the issue of reproductive freedom, that she is a tireless advocate on that issue. And we see that issue having an impact across the board demographically, with every age level for women. It is an incredibly popular issue, and it is a voting issue. And we're starting to see it increasingly with men. And so we think that that she's, you know, got a lot of strength going into this election. It's unfortunate if someone's counting her out simply because of her gender. But I'm not sure those people were ever going to vote for someone other than Donald Trump.
You know, Kamala Harris doesn't talk about making history so much. Is that just, you think, a personal thing, or she's not the type of person? Because, you know, Hillary Clinton did when she was running.
Yes, I think one of the things that's important to note is we're talking about two different campaigns in a wide variety of ways, but one of them is that Kamala Harris is having to run this race in 13 weeks. We kind of forget because it feels like it's been a lifetime, but she only took over, and in that 13 weeks, she has to define herself. She has to lay out her specific agenda. She was headed in with Joe Biden's agenda. Now she's got to differentiate herself and talk about her own plans. And so I think that's one of the things that's different. I think the other thing that is different is that Hillary Clinton talked about the history-making nature of her candidacy as a way of contrasting her with Donald Trump, who is someone who insults women and belittled them and all of that. What Kamala Harris can talk about is an actual record that Trump has. Instead of the threat of what he might do, she can talk about the fact that he was responsible for overturning Roe v. Wade. And so it allows her to appeal to, a majority of Americans, but in particular women, on that specific issue, rather than just talking about gender. And that is that's a really powerful voting issue that she can lean in on.
But let's sort of further refine the question about whether there are some men who won't vote for her because she is a woman. Is it also because of a racial thing? Is it because she's a woman and there are white men who won't vote for black women? But we also have seen from various reports, there are an awful lot of black men who won't vote for a black woman.
Well, you know, I think polling is an art, not a science in some ways, right? And I think we see different things on different polls. It is unclear to me whether or not that's impacting her appeal to men. But I think that, you know, there are a wide variety of reasons why a man might not support Kamala Harris. Are some of them sexist? Perhaps, yes. Is there sexism in America? Absolutely. Is there racism in America? Of course there is. Does that impact a black woman running for president? Of course it does. But I also think that what she brings is a strength for many voters, that they look and they see that she brings her communities in with her, that she is looking out for all Americans, as opposed to a very limited sliver that Donald Trump has been appealing to, that she's looking to bring people together rather than tear them apart. And so the hope is that that is appealing to men as well. You know, she and her campaign have done explicit outreach to men. Obviously, there's a gender gap. And quite frankly, I'd rather be us than them since more women vote. But I think we know there's a gender gap, but she's certainly aimed at appealing to all Americans, and it's something that I think she can be very proud of for her.
What do you make of this permission structure that people like Liz Cheney have been trying to build, right, for Republican women or middle-of-the-road women, saying, you know, really, when you put it through the translator, hey, you don't have to tell the dudes who you vote for. That's your business. It's not theirs.
I think it's an important thing. I think that people need to know. Listen, I've knocked doors where I'm, you know, trying to get a woman out who is a registered Democrat, and her husband doesn't know that. You know, when I knock the door, they say, no one here is a Democrat. Some people need that permission structure, and that's okay. Who you vote for, that you vote is public, and everyone should know. You can look up, you know, if your friends and neighbors voted. But so it's important to vote, obviously, but who you vote for obviously is private. And I think allowing people to understand that it may not mean that you're changing your party. It may not mean that you agree with this candidate on every issue. If we find candidates that we agree with on every issue, I mean, I think that only happens when you run for office, right?
I'm best. Vote for me.
That's right.
Okay.
But you still go and support the candidate that best will represent you.
Christina Reynolds from Emily's List, thank you for being with us.
This is Countdown 2024
on KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Welcome back. A Tuesday edition of Countdown 2024, along with Charles Feldman. I'm Mike Simpson in for Margaret Carrero. Even though religion and government are supposed to be separated in the U.S., no question, religion has played a major role in presidential elections. Look back to 80 with Ronald Reagan, the moral majority. Christian right galvanizing support for Reagan, carrying him to the Republican nomination, ultimately the presidency.
And some presidents like Jimmy Carter have never been shy about the role faith has played in their lives, but is religion a factor this year? Adele Banks is Project's editor and national reporter for Religion News Service. Adele, I'm curious because, you know, all the polls that I've seen in the past actually few years have indicated that more and more Americans are not going to, you know, organized religious services. They're not going to churches. They're not going to mosques. They're not going to synagogues, even if they consider themselves spiritual in nature in some ways. And yet, religion does seem to be playing perhaps an inordinate role in this particular election. Is that an accurate perception, and why?
Thanks for having me today. I really appreciate it. Religion plays a role because religion still matters a lot to a lot of Americans, and its role is quite varied. People may think that people want to vote for only one candidate or because of their faith, but that's really not true because religious faith is not a monolith. And so even different groups within religious faiths vote differently, think differently. And I can give you a couple of examples. For instance, the Pew Research Center has done some research about the fact that religious groups that usually have a tendency to lean Republican or are supporting former President Trump, but those who are leaning Democrat are going to support, of course, Vice President Harris. But even when there is a large percentage of white evangelical Protestants who are saying that they're going to vote for Trump, there are scholars who point out that there are all different kinds of evangelicals. There are some who are longtime supporters of the former president. And then there are those who are like peace and justice evangelicals, and they believe in things like racial justice and immigration reform and environmental issues. And their values are the ones they see supported by the Democratic Party. And another example would be the Black church, that there are lots of Black Protestants who may be voting, lots of get out the vote efforts related to them. But I've talked to a scholar who says that statistically, those that are non-denominational Black Protestants, they're more likely to vote Republican, whereas those who are Black Methodists or Black Baptists or Black Holiness Pentecostals like Church of God in Christ may be more inclined to vote for Harris.
Particularly when it's so close, right? We know it's just like neck and neck. So churches, even if it's a shrinking voter block, still super important. If you can get in, you can get those votes and you can count on those.
Absolutely. And there are very strenuous get out the vote efforts of people from a variety of perspectives, knocking on doors, literally, as they call it, souls to the polls, walking from a worship service down the street to the nearest voting center in bulk, in mass, you know. So there's lots of efforts because people do see those ties.
But why is religion important for, you know, politics in particular in this country? I'm thinking, for example, of France, where, I mean, you don't almost dare mention anything about religion if you're running for political office there, and they're a pretty sophisticated country. Why is it so important here?
I think a lot of people see faith as an important aspect of their lives, the tenets that they follow, and they're concerned about whether the candidates agree with them on those kinds of tenets. You know, just the issue of values is what's important for a lot of people, even though there's the phrase values voters that's connected to one side of the political aisle. Values are an issue for lots of people, and their values are often rooted in their religion.
Do these candidates seem religious? I mean, Trump has described himself as Presbyterian, doesn't really talk about it, although says, you know, God saved his life is what he thinks after the assassination attempt. He's kind of been linked with the white evangelicals because there was a coalition for him. Kamala Harris says, you know, I grew up Baptist, also went to a Hindu temple, told Anderson Cooper that she prays almost every day.
Well, President Trump actually had a different affiliation, but now calls himself non-denominational, last we knew from our reporting. And Vice President Harris has a very interesting variegated religious background, having had a Hindu mother and a Christian father, and she identifies as a Baptist and attends or is affiliated with a Black Baptist church. So it's important, apparently, to them to some extent, but it's hard to say what the actual beliefs of anyone are unless they tell us themselves.
But do you think that, that people who are genuinely religious are concerned about hypocrisy in politics, that people running for high office tend to get religion as they run for higher office?
There's hypocrisy in politics.
Yeah, I know. Shocking, well, isn't it?
There are some people that have critiqued the candidates for, you know, going to the religious folks towards the end of the campaign, and both have, you know, former President Trump has been prayed for at a Latinos for Trump event where there were a lot of evangelical voters, and Vice President Harris has made herself visible at Black churches of late. So there are some people who wonder about that, but I think that in some way that may also show respect that the candidates have for the fact that there are believing Americans who are also going to the ballot box.
Do you think, Adele, that people, again, who are really religious, when they vote for either candidate, how do they sort of compartmentalize their own religious beliefs with some candidates anyway? And I'm not just talking about the ones leading the top of the ticket, but even ones below the top of the ticket. But those candidates, and we all know who they are, who have spent life breaking not just 10 commandments, but probably 20 commandments. How do they rectify that?
It appears we don't have Adele.
No. Oh. Adele, are you there?
I don't know. I don't think so. Well, we thank her anyways.
Well, yes.
Adele Banks, Religion News Service. Yeah. You can leave the audience with that question,
I know,
Charles.
It's a great question.
That's a question to go to the polls.
Lots of suspense coming up in
Souls
tomorrow's.
To the polls.
Yeah. Coming up in tomorrow's Countdown 2024, L.A. County Supervisor Catherine Barger. We will ask her why she's opposed to a ballot measure that would completely change the power structure of the county, even though some of her colleagues are for it. And by the way, what are you doing next Tuesday night, Mike?
I think maybe I'll come hang out with you and eat some pizza.
Oh, okay. That's election night then. Yeah, our special election night coverage begins at 5, I think. Am I right about that?
I think so.
Yeah, because
5 till whenever.
Yeah, because I'm planning on getting here at 9 so, p.m. Countdown 2024 brought to you by LMU, Loyola Law School, where students ignite justice, lls.edu/radio.